Good morning. Hope that you had a great weekend. We're so thankful for all who were able to come and to participate in our Christmas breakfast this morning. Hope you were blessed by that fellowship and time with one another. Again, thanks to all who participated. Nick and his team, Andy Brinker and others who helped cook Alan Brinker and others who helped cook the food and prepare the food. Appreciate them and appreciate the elders for serving the food. We're so thankful for our elders and all that they do for our church. And that is one of the many ways that they are constantly working for this church and to shepherd and to lead us. And we appreciate them so much. I want to start with a thought this morning. And that thought is this, is that in order to look forward, or in order to move forward, it often requires us to take a look back, doesn't it? It's true in so many different areas of our life, whether we might be making a decision with our career, a relationship, definitely true if you're being chased by a bear, right? Important to move forward, look back. Definitely true when you're on the interstate and you're about to pass someone, it's good to look behind you before you switch lanes. It's important as we move forward to always to take a look back. Now notice I said that we need to take a look back. We need to take a look back at the past. In other words, we're going to just take a look. We don't want to live in the past, right? All kinds of problems happen when we get those two things confused. When we begin to live in the past, we have all kinds of problems. On the one side of things, when we live in the past, we might sort of look back at the past as the good old days, and things are just never as good as they once were, which we all know absolutely was not true. We had just as many problems in whatever we were talking about as the good old days. But also, when we constantly just look at the past as the good old days, we often live in the good old days of the present and to make the present what it should be and to enjoy the present. And then on the other side of things, when we tend to live in the past, another problem is that we live and dwell in our brokenness and our broken stories, and we live with guilt and shame, and it's hard for us to get past those things in order to live now. And so that's why I said we want to look at the past. We look at it, we examine it, we reflect, we think about it. But we live in the present, and we live in the hope of tomorrow. And that's what I want to do as a church this morning, is I want to take a look at our recent past, which is 2023. Reflect on that. Sort of all of this is tied together with our Christmas breakfast. We had the slideshow downstairs, just looking at pictures, enjoying the fellowship, but seeing pictures on the PowerPoint that was moving forward with just various pictures from things that have happened here at Northeast. And so we want to do that a little bit this morning. And we want to reflect on the ways that we've seen God work through us and God move in our church and in our city. But we also want to accept the things that we wish would have been different. Not for the purpose of living in the past, but for examining, looking, reflecting as we anticipate this coming year, 2024, and what God has in store for us as we take a step forward. So as we begin this brief journey this morning, I want to also look at something that the Apostle Paul, early church planter named Paul, said to this church in Philippi. I want to base our thoughts there as we begin to think about our 2023 and our 2024. And so we'll be in Philippians 1. As Paul begins to write to this church, this was a church that he loved. This was a church he had planted, the church in Philippi. If you want a detailed account of that, you can look at Acts chapter 16, in which it talks about how Paul and Silas and others with them planted the church there in Philippi. And there's some crazy stories there, so a lot of things that we can learn from, but what we see there is, although God moved in very big ways and drew people to him and a church was planted, it wasn't all blue skies and rainbows. In fact, they faced opposition, they faced persecution, they faced imprisonment. Yet it was through that story that this church was planted. And now, many, many years later, Paul is writing to them to encourage them. And what's interesting about it is Paul's writing to them once again in prison for preaching the word of God. And as he's there in prison, some think Rome, some think he's in Ephesus, and as he's there writing to this church that he loved, this church in Philippi he had planted, he reflects a bit. He takes a moment to look back at what had happened as in their history of their relationship together. But then he also looks forward. Let's look together at this text. Philippians 1 and verse 3. Paul, he starts out the letter with them. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Right? As Paul reflects on the relationship, reflects on all that God has done there at Philippi, he says he remembers them with joy. Yes, it was caught up in struggle. It was caught up in persecution. It was caught up in being in prison. And if you looked at the story, you'd think there were a lot of lows of that story. Paul says, when I remember you, I remember with joy and I pray for you always. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day when I was sitting there in prison in Philippi. Perhaps you imagine the Philippian jailer, if you know the stories of Acts 16. There's a jailer there, and perhaps he is listening to that from that first point where they had first met. Or a lady named Lydia who Paul had met and helped draw her to the Lord and as she became a disciple of Jesus. And so you see all these people and all these faces who might be hearing this letter who were part of this original church plan as the church in Philippi was getting off the ground. And Paul says, I remember you with joy as I look back at our partnership from the first day until now. But Paul didn't do that to say, you remember the good old days? Remember when we planted the church and it grew? And he doesn't just live there, right? He's just looking there. He's examining it because that's in the past. But he builds this foundation. He says, but now being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul looks back with joy to the relationship that he has with the church of Philippi. But he was looking forward to what God was going to do with him. And that was his whole purpose in writing, is that Paul cared what was happening in their lives now. And so as he's reflected on the past, and he's done so with joy and prayer, he then in verse 9, he says, and this is my prayer. In other words, now Paul is going to speak what he wants to happen to them in the future, their next steps. He said, and this is my prayer. He says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He says that you may be able to discern what is best and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of the Lord, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so Paul prayed for them, for their future, for their growth. It's not just about becoming a disciple of Jesus and ending there, and then the rest of life is just in celebration of that fact, but that God calls us in a deeper relationship. And when we begin that relationship through baptism, that truly is just the beginning. And now these people he had built up, he had helped shape and form them through the Holy Spirit. Now he was writing for their future and saying, I want you to continue to mature, continue to grow, continue to grow in love, to grow in knowledge, presumably knowledge of God, to grow in being able to discern what God is doing among you, be able to discern what God is doing, and then ultimately that you might be filled with the fruit of righteousness, fruit of the Spirit, filled with the qualities that make us like Jesus. He says, I want you to grow in that. And so what we see in Philippians 1 is this, as we see that Paul looked back with joy and he prayed forward with hope. And that's simply what I want to do this morning in our brief time together. It's just to look back at 2023 with joy, reflect on the good and the bad as we think about that individually, but also to look forward. So we ask the question here, how has God worked through us in 2023? As we look back at the year, what are some of the things that God has done here through the disciples, specifically here at Northeast? When I write my sermons, rather than just talking about, you know, I often will put some sort of purpose of this particular lesson or whatever, and I always use that phrase. as I want to help the disciples of Northeast do this or do that. It's not just get the audience to do this. No, we are a group of disciples. We're a group of people who've committed their lives to God and want to live that out. And that's part of, if you're here today as a disciple of Jesus, that's part of our past. As we look at that in this the recent past that we've had together as disciples of Jesus trying to make a difference in this world, what are the ways that God has worked through us? And there's certainly, as we look at that, as we look at 2023 and we look back, we realize that there has, just like the Philippians had in their past, we've had a lot of struggles this year. We've had challenges. We've had heartbreak. We've had disappointments. Yet despite all of that, these things, if we were to live into them, they would paralyze us, keep us from taking a step forward into what God is calling us to do. But really, when we look back at 2023, don't we have so many wonderful memories of this past year, of things that we have done as a group of disciples, a church, people trying to live out this life as disciples of Jesus? As we reflect on this year, think about how many newborns have been welcomed into this church, and as we strive to serve and to build up these young families here at Northeast. Thinking of at least 8 people who have committed their life to being a disciple of Jesus, that we've helped them, that we've witnessed their confession, we've witnessed their baptism. What a blessing that has been. At least 20 different disciples, people who were disciples of Jesus, have decided to partner with us at Northeast. Is that they've seen what is happening here and they say, I want to be a part of it. I hope to think that they've seen God working among this church and they say, I want to be a part of that. So the people have joined the mission here and the purpose here. I think about the multiple new ministries that have been started this year that have been in a response to a growing church and those ministries that are thriving. We've identified and appointed 3 new elders at the beginning of this year. And at the end of this year, we've identified and appointed 2 more deacons to serve. And then several different ministry leaders throughout the year who have stepped in to do the work. And as Grady has mentioned, on multiple occasions, when you look at the amount of people in our church who are serving and working, it's far above what you see in an average church. And God has blessed us in that he's given us this spirit of service and the heart of service and serving others. And we see that in each one of you. And not to mention all the other successful gatherings, the cookouts, the fellowship meals. We're really good at the fellowship meals, aren't we? That was a good time this morning. All the Bible classes, all the service projects, meals delivered to those in need, and then time invested in the community around us through City Gospel Mission, Matthew 25, and other things. And then just the time invested in community with one another through our life group ministry. And then the countless other ways that you guys are involved in one another's lives. I told you this when I first came here, that I've just been blown away by how much people in this church get together outside of church. And that shouldn't be surprising, should it? Like, that should be sort of expected, that if we're disciples of Jesus, if we're exiles in this world, like, we're going to band together, we're going to be a part of each other's lives. But I've seen it in a unique way here at the Northeast Church, just all the different ways that we're trying to grow together. And so those are the things that I and some of the leaders here have thought about what God has done among us. But now I want you to reflect on that. We're going to have just a 2-minute video that is a summary and some pictures that weren't in the slideshow downstairs. Some will be the same, but just for those who weren't here. And we're just going to watch this 2-minute video, and I want you to reflect. Think about what God has done among us in 2023 as we anticipate the next year.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Good, good, Lord, you are good, good, Lord.
the king of my heart, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good, Lord. Let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good, Lord. You
are. I hope as you sat there and reflect, you think about the good memories, the smiles, the joy that we've had this year. And although every year has its challenges, and we certainly have had those, we see God at work among us and what we've been doing. But as we've said, it's important to look at the past to inform where we're at. But we shouldn't live in the past. And so as we ask this question, how has God worked through us in 2023? We also want to ask the question this morning, what does God have in store for us in 2024? I think we can answer that question in a number of ways. There's so much to look forward to in the coming year, to continue to invest in the ministries we have, to continue to be involved, to have more opportunities to build one another up and have fellowship, continue to build each other up through our midweek service. All kinds of things that are happening in the next year. But after being here almost about a year and a half, I believe that one of our many next steps, but one I want to highlight this morning, and one thing I think just through conversations with people, through conversations with leadership, that one area God is leading us to in the next year is to grow deeper in outreach and disciple making. And I want to highlight something that we have to really look forward to in 2024. That's going to take a lot of planning. And that's this, is that we are partnering with the Madison Church of Christ in Madison, Alabama. This past fall, we were contacted by them. A friend of mine who's on staff there contacted us. They're about a 1,000-member church in Madison, Alabama. And they've had a lot of success, and God's worked among them in a lot of big ways as far as it goes for discipleship and disciple-making and outreach. And so they feel God has called them, and they've been doing this for over a decade, going to various churches all over the country and just working with them to help them take the next step in regards to outreach and disciple-making. And so we've been planning with some of them, the official dates for that are June 26th to July 2nd. They're going to be bringing 60 to 80 of their high schoolers and adults to come up here and to work with us as we strive to reach our community around us and the neighborhoods we live in. And that's a tall order. And it's going to take a lot of planning, but we're looking forward to that. There's going to be a lot of planning and thought, and as far as the outreach and disciple making initiatives that we want to launch this year in conjunction with that, to call us into deeper engagement with the culture around us and to be more comfortable engaging our neighbors and the community around our church building. So we have a lot to look forward to in 2024, much more than that, but we wanted to make that announcement this morning. And so a lot more information will be coming out about our partnership with the Madison Church. But for now, I just ask you, put it on your calendars. Mark that out on your calendars, June 26th to July 2nd, the best you can, because there's going to be a lot of opportunities for us to show hospitality and a lot more opportunities for us to get to work and to engage the culture here and the people here in this Cincinnati area. So now, this morning, as we wrap this up, I want us to take a moment as we partake of communion together. And I want to do that. I want to come to the table that we come to every week. But this week with a specific purpose, of course, reflecting on Christ and his sacrifice for us. But doing so in light of the past year. All the ups and downs, the struggles, the good times, bad times, all with the celebration of the many things that we've mentioned this morning, let's partake of this cup with one another. So first, let's take the bread and let's give thanks. Our Father in heaven, we come before you with joy. Some of us are coming before you with heavy hearts. Perhaps this year has been a year of struggle, been a year of difficulty. There's others who are in a season of celebration, of excitement. And we as a church have had ups and downs this year, Father, but as we look at the year as a whole, we realize you have been among us and you have been working in incredible ways. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the way that he dwelt in the flesh. He became a human being. That he used his body to bless people. He used his life to make a difference in the lives of people. Father, we want to follow that example. But he also sacrificed his body. We want to recognize that now in light of all that we've been talking about this morning. Father, we pray that you'll bless this bread as we partake of it now. And in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray and reflect on the cup. Father, we come together once again in Jesus' name and ask you to bless this cup. We're thankful for Christ and him giving himself up on the cross and shedding his blood to cover our sins and our mistakes, our trespasses against you. But it's also blood that empowers us to live, to empower us to take a step forward, Father, and we pray that we can do that this morning as we reflect on this coming year. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as always, we want to encourage you to give as we do each week. Part of being a disciple of Jesus is living and giving generously. And as you've seen here this morning, there's some incredible ways that you can do that at Northeast this morning. And some incredible ways you can, as you contribute to our fund, that those funds are being used. But even more than that, you know, traditionally, as we have a Christmas lunch, this morning it was Christmas breakfast. Traditionally, we have challenged you to give in light of this time of year. And traditionally, that's been a Christmas store. We're able to give gifts to children who are in need. And many of you are probably wondering, where is that ask this year? And that opportunity is no longer available to us. And so we thought about, what do we do about that? Do we still create an opportunity? And here's what we came up with. In light of what we plan to do in 2024 with disciple making and outreach, we want to challenge you to take the funds that you would have purchased Christmas gifts and all those type of things for the Christmas store we normally participate in. Take those funds, put on your spiritual glasses, your outreach lens, and look for people in your neighborhood. Look for friends. Look for coworkers who you could bless. People who are far from God. and use those funds to bless them in whatever way that looks like. Maybe that means helping their kids with some Christmas gifts. Maybe that means opening up your home and showing some hospitality to some of your neighbors. That's the challenge for you. And say, oh, see, well, there's no ask. I'm getting off easy this year. No, this is the work that we're called to do, is to go out. As we believe God is calling us to greater outreach and disciple making, use those funds, you personally, to make an impact on an individual or family that you personally know, and do it in the name of Jesus. So this morning, as we've taken this time to look back and to look forward as a church today, I also want you to, I want to encourage you to do that as an individual for just a moment. As we think about ourselves individually this year, maybe your family, you've had ups and downs, just like our church family has, and we have had as a congregation. You've had moments of struggle, moments of obstacle. Hopefully there's been a lot of moments of celebration as well. And we want to use this time to make it available to anyone who has something on their heart. As you've reflected on this year and you're reflecting what God is doing in your life in 2024. And if you want to make a step to become a disciple of Jesus, we want to give you that opportunity this morning to come forward in just a moment and be baptized. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and live your life anew through the Spirit. Or maybe you're here and you've got something just heavy on your heart, you're a disciple of Jesus, and you just want to get that lifted off your chest. You can do that this morning too. Or you can take a step into the prayer room with an elder and sit and pray with them. Whatever your need is, we want you to know we're here for you. We care about you as you reflect on your own life and you, as you step in to the next year. Please come while we